ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
So that's the Battle of Armageddon then, and the Lord comes back and establishes His kingdom. That has to happen. In fact, the word complete, teleo in the Greek, speaks of bringing an end to determine goal. What's the determined goal? The completion of God's wrath. He's warned man. He's given man every opportunity. In fact, we saw that there's this angel going across the heavens proclaiming the everlasting gospel, giving people one last chance before there is that point of no return. And by the time we get to these bowl judgments, they're past that point of no return. I really think that it is really getting close. Again, I don't want to be a date setter, but I do. I think we're living in very, very exciting times, and we should be the most excited people in the world. What's happened is for many Christians, they become very angry. They are lashing out at different groups of people. Here's the thing. If we do that, how are we going to witness to them? We can't. I think, well, here's the thing. No matter what anyone does to me, no matter how the persecution comes upon us during these days, I know where I'm going. And you know where you're going. We're going to go be with the Lord. Now, Paul, remember when he wrote Philippians, the epistle of joy, he was in prison. Okay? And it's interesting because he says that the palace guards are getting saved. Why? Well, because they're chained to Paul. Can you imagine 8 hours chained to Paul the apostle? They must have heard the gospel message over and over. They probably tried to run away, but they couldn't. Anyone want to change shifts with me? I'm with Paul. Oh, I don't want that guy. You stick with him. Now they're getting saved. And Paul also says, and many of the brethren in Rome are being encouraged because they see that the gospel can't be chained. People are getting, their lives are being transformed. It doesn't matter if you're in prison or out on the streets. You can't chain the gospel. And we got to keep that in mind. Now, again, when we talk about the wrath of God, that's a hard concept for many people. In fact, there's two different Greek words for wrath. One is orge, and that's the one that's most often used in the New Testament. It means, you know, angered from a settled disposition or temperament. But that's not the word that John used here. He used a different Greek word, thumos. And it's only found 11 times in the New Testament, that word. And 10 of those are found in the book of Revelation, which is interesting. Thumos is more of a volatile or passionate anger. And we tend to think of, well, did God lose control here? No, not at all. It's an anger that's under control. It's a righteous anger. God doesn't lose his cool. He's going to deal with sin. And like we said, when he deals with this wrath that he's pouring out, it's going to be complete now at the end of these bowl judgments. Now, think about how patient God is. When I turn on the news, I'm not very patient. They drive me crazy. When I'm, you know, driving down the road, someone's going 20 miles and it's 35 miles an hour. I'm not very patient. Think about all that God sees. He not only sees all the news, right? But he knows the thoughts and the intents of man's heart. We don't. We only see what's outward. So he sees all that. And we get angry at these things we see. Imagine what God sees. And look at how long-suffering, how patient he is. He came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He's coming back as the Lion from the tribe of Judah to put away sin. In Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12, the psalmist said this, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." I was thinking about that. We want God to pour out his wrath on all those wicked people out there. But how much better are we? The only reason we're righteous is because the righteousness of Christ has been imputed into our lives by faith. Now we say, well, I'm better than that other, those people over there. I mean, look at what they're doing. I'll let you in on a little secret. They're not the standard. God's the standard. And if we lose that perspective, we're going to start looking down on people. God, just destroy them, wipe them out. No, God, pour out your grace and mercy. Bring them to saving faith. God's grace does come to an end. And we see that here in Revelation. And he's going to pour out his wrath, and it's going to be complete. Look at verse 2. "And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of gold." Now, I see the sea of glass as being the word of God. And it's interesting, you know, back in Revelation 4:6, it seems to represent there the laver in the tabernacle and in the temple where the priests would come and wash themselves or cleanse themselves before they served the Lord. That's why I think this is a picture of the Word of God. Because Paul speaks of the washing of the Word of God in our lives. In Ephesians 5:26, Paul said that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. See, as we go out in the world, there's a lot of dirt that we accumulate into our lives. So as we read the Word of God, it kind of washes us, it cleanses us. And I think that's what's going on here. The only difference between this and what we read in Revelation chapter 4 is that this is mingled with fire. Why? Why is it different here? Well, fire speaks of God's judgment. And I think the whole idea is God's judgment is going to be poured out according to God's word. When God poured out his wrath with the flood back in Genesis, Noah was preaching probably for 120 years of the coming judgment. They all knew it. They mocked it. They laughed at it. Today, we again are preaching the word of God, the coming judgment of God. People laugh and mock at it. But his judgment's going to come according to what he has said in his word. And here, these tribulation saints are standing upon the sea of glass or the word of God. I like that. I think for us today, if we start standing upon anything else besides God's word, we're going to be in trouble. And there is so much stuff out there today. So much stuff trying to trickle into the church, false teaching. You know, one of the big problems in Russia is that the government doesn't like the church, then what America has brought in there. They have their Orthodox church, which they're okay with, but they don't like the church that's been brought in there. And the big reason is because of the Kingdom Now theology people who are trying to set up God's kingdom here on earth now, and then Jesus Christ will come back, which is not scriptural. Well, that's what they want to do. And the reason the government's clamping down on them is even raided their services is because they want to take over the government. Well, you know, any government doesn't want you to do that, let alone Russia. So they're clamping down because of that. We have to be careful again. You know, stand upon what God's word has to say. Be bold about what you believe in, especially in these days. You know, if we're in a boat and the boat's sinking and we're the captain and we're terrified, what kind of signal is that going to give to everyone else? It's going to make them fearful. But if we're there, hey, I've got this, we're under control because I have the manual and I know how to fix this problem. See, I know I have the manual and I know how to fix this problem. And the fix is Jesus Christ. Because before this even starts, this tribulation period, he's taken his bride home. So we don't have to go through this. And there's our answer to people. So if we're fearful, what kind of hope are we giving to people? We're not giving them any hope. Let's give them the hope of Jesus. Because that's where true hope is found. And I love it because, you know, the world looks at these tribulation saints that have been martyred for their faith and are now with the Lord as losers, right? They're nothing. They're garbage. But they're with the Lord. The Lord sees it completely differently. They're victorious in Christ. In fact, back in Revelation 12:11, we're told how they gained this victory. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Now, here's the question. How did they know that truth? Where are they standing? Oh, they're standing upon the word of God. How did they not succumb to the lies of the devil? Because they stood upon the word of God. That's the key. Stand upon God's word. You won't be deceived. Deception is a big part of the last days. So how do you know the truth? You read the manual. You read the word of God. Apply the blood of the Lamb on your life. That's what they did. The word of their testimony. They lived out their faith. And they didn't love their lives, or they didn't love their life to the death. They were willing to sacrifice their life for Christ. They also have harps in their hands, something we saw back in Revelation 5:8, as the 24 elders had harps in their hands. And what is that all about? Well, it's going to lead to worship. Now, we have pictures today of the chubby little angels playing the harps. Well, I hope I'm not chubby in heaven, but whatever the case, this is worship, guys. These instruments are going to be used in the worship of God. And I think, well, I know, we have to have a love for God's word. Back in 1647, the Westminster Confession of Faith, listen to what they said, because many churches have moved completely away from this today. The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for his own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life, is either expressly set down in Scripture or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture, under which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelations of the Spirit or traditions of men. Amen. Let's get back to that. You know, years ago, when I first got saved, you know, we didn't have all the online stuff to buy books and things. So you go to a Christian bookstore, and there would be their commentary section. It was big. You go in there and find all these commentaries, all these different books. It was awesome. Biographies on godly men and women. Today, no. You know what you find today? Self-help books. Christian mysticism, occult things, Catholic things, books by Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, Jakes, Myers, Bell, Driscoll, Schuller. all these apostate teachers. You see books like Jesus Calling and The Shack. I mean, Jesus Calling, they used to have huge displays of them. What about commentaries by these godly men? Why are they gone? Oh, people don't buy them. We have to stay in business, so, you know, we gotta make a profit, so we gotta sell these things. And I've seen Christian bookstores go out of business because they have done that very thing. They've compromised. There was a Christian bookstore years ago right across from our church. I think PC Computers or one of those places is there now. And they had all kinds of Catholic things in there. They went away. Another big bookstore, it wasn't just in Appleton, but the names I don't remember, went out of business too. They were doing the exact same thing, selling all kinds of unchristian material. Why? To make a profit. If you have to compromise your faith to succeed, then you're doing something wrong. You may not be a multimillionaire, but you don't compromise your faith to make money. God has given to us all that we need to grow by. It's called the Word of God, the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why do I need a self-help book to be if the Bible is going to make me thoroughly equipped for every good work that I do? And as I've said so many times before, the first word messes the whole thing up. What kind of book is it? Self-help. No, I don't need self-help. I need God. Help me, please, right? And He has. He's given me His Word. Why do I want to look to myself or to the world for advice when Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, has given to me everything that I need to do the work He's called me to do? Don't be cheated through philosophy and empty deceit, Paul said in Colossians. According to the traditions of men, the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. You will never be complete by adding worldly things to your life. You're complete in Christ, applying His Word to your life. In fact, it's interesting because Jesus, when He confronted the Jewish religious leaders, would often say, "Are you therefore mistaken? Are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God? You do not know this. You're the religious leaders. You should know this. Have you not read," He said to them. "Don't you remember what the Scriptures say?" I think that's why so many Christians are struggling with in their lives, is because, like Jesus prayed in John 17:17, "Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." They're not taking in the word of God. And so their lifestyles reflect that. There's not the washing of the word in their lives. I think these tribulation saints were able to stand strong in the storms that they were facing because they stood upon the word of God. And that's true for our own lives. Look here in verse 3 of Revelation 15. "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear, O Lord, or fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested.'" Now, you think, well, wait a minute, there's supposed to be two songs. It's only one song that we read here. Well, one song, they were singing really two titles to that song. And I'll show you what I mean in a minute. The first song is really the song of Moses. We see that in Exodus chapter 15 as Moses and the children of Israel are praising God for His deliverance, for their deliverance from Egypt, and how God brought them through the Red Sea. I'll just share a few verses of that in Exodus 15, verses 1 through 7. "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. There's also another song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32. It just speaks of the faithfulness of God to bring his people out of bondage and avenge the blood of his servants. In verse 43 of Deuteronomy 32, we're told, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to all his adversaries. He will provide atonement for his land and his people." Now, that's the song of Moses, but what about this other song, the song of the Lamb? Well, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb really express the themes of God's faithfulness, delivering his people and the judgment of his enemies. One commentator, John Phillips, put it like this. He said, "The song of Moses was sung at the Red Sea. The song of the Lamb is sung at the Crystal Sea. The song of Moses was a song of triumph over Egypt. The song of the Lamb is a song of triumph over Babylon. The song of Moses told how God brought his people out. The song of the Lamb tells how God brings his people in. The song of Moses was the first song in Scripture. The song of the Lamb is the last. The song of Moses commemorated the execution of the foe, the expectation of the saints, and the exaltation of the Lord. The song of the Lamb deals with the same three themes." So we have really one song looking at two different pictures. The song of Moses looked forward to the coming Messiah. The song of the Lamb looks back at the finished work of the Messiah. And in the end, it's victory as God's coming back to establish his kingdom on this earth. And I think many have lost sight of that fact. It's what God has done and what God is doing and what God will do. In these two verses, the words "your" and "you" are spoken of seven times. In other words, the focus is the Lord. It's not upon us and what we've done. And really, I don't want to get into this too much, but that's the heart of worship, isn't it? The heart of worship is about Jesus. It's all about him. And these martyred saints are focusing upon God. I think for us as Christians, let's not lose sight of the focus. I think many times we are seeing pastors elevating themselves into a position where they want the people to look to them. Honestly, I don't want you to look to me. I want to point you to Jesus, because you know what? I could be here today and gone tomorrow, and then what are you going to do? Jesus will always be with you. So if I'm not leading you to Jesus, but to myself, to get all the attention, the glory, the praise, look at what Pastor Joe did, you're going to be in serious trouble. It's God we have to focus on. They praised the works of God. "Great and marvelous are your works." They praised the ways of God. "Just and true are your ways." And they praise the perfection of God. "Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy." Yeah. And it ends up, lastly, praise the purpose of God. "For all nations shall come and worship before you." Do we see that today? No. When do we see that in the kingdom age? When all the nations of the world will come and worship before the Lord. I like that. You see, we're created for his good pleasure. The mentality a lot of times today is, "God, what do you have for me?" We see it in the church. People come to the church, "What do you have for me? What are you going to give me? And when you can't give me anymore, I'll go to another church and see what they can give me." show me in the scriptures where that's what we're to do. You won't find it. You know what we're supposed to do? God has gifted me with this. Can I help out somewhere in the church? That's what it's about. It's called the body of Christ. And when we have that perspective, when we understand we were created for His good pleasure, it's such a joy to serve Him.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.